This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name's Dean Beck and joining me this evening as my co-host, the very wonderful Tim Little.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well. And I hear you're feeling a bit dusty.
Look, I'm okay now. I've slept for 2 days straight returning from Mardi Gras. I needed the rest. But firing on all cylinders. Glad to be back after a big weekend up there in Sydney, bringing all the colour and movement of the parade to our wonderful audience.
And I'm sure you'll fill us in a little bit later.
Yes, I will indeed. I'll bring you a few of the behind-the-scenes tidbits a little later in the show. But speaking of which, what is on the show tonight, Tim?
Well, tonight we are talking bears, beards and cancer. We have
In that order or not specifically?
Well, you know, they're all kind of linked together. We'll get
okay,
to that.
We'll work out how that all comes together.
I'm on fire. Hide and seek.
Fireball.
This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Dean Beck and Tim Little are with you.
Now, today, 34 Australians will be given the devastating news that they have leukemia, lymphoma or myeloma, and they'll turn to the Leukemia Foundation for help. Although survival rates are improving, blood cancers are the third biggest cause of cancer death in Australia. Getting sponsored to shave, colour or wax the hair on your head, chest or face is an extraordinary way to help families facing the challenge of blood cancer and to help Australia's best researchers. No doubt this affects many in the GLBTIQ community. And our guest this evening has decided to take on the challenge with a bit of a twist, introducing Erin O'Neill. Erin, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Tim. How are you going?
Very well. Now, of course, you are the Vic Bears 2014 title holder.
Congratulations.
Yes, I was. And actually, hi, Dean, as well. Thanks for having me on Hide and Seek.
Glad to have you. What is it exactly that you're going to be doing? I mean, there's a number of options here, colouring, shaving.
Yeah.
What is your big dive in to help assist this fundraising?
So what I've decided to do is have a bit of an event at the Laird, and I'm going to be shaving my head. I'm not going to be shaving it. I'm going to have the wonderful Mr. Richard Savvy come down, the naked barber from Sydney, and he's going to shave my head.
I think it's always best to get a professional to do it.
Absolutely.
Most certainly, especially when you're on stage in a barber's chair. and I definitely want his professionalism for what's coming up next. So he's going to shave my head, shave my beard. Shave my beard. Yes,
what?
Yes. Beard's going. My chest and tummy fur is going. And back crack and sack is getting cutthroat shaved.
You are having the works done.
Yes. So turning this little bear into a twink. And grows back.
At 34, I'm not quite... Course. At 34, Erin, I think twink might be pushing it.
Yeah, that's true.
How attached to your beard are you?
I absolutely love my beard. So I came out about 3 years ago, but I've been growing my beard for about a bit over five years. So I had a career in the Air Force, and I wasn't able to grow a beard just due to the work. So when I left the Air Force, I started growing my beard, and it's sort of always been inside me, always been a part of me that I wanted to be able to grow out. And ever since I left and was able to, I have done that. So I'm very attached to it, but at the end of the day, it's just hair, and it will grow back.
Do you have to hand your sash back?
Oh, okay. So I'm not a I'm not a current title holder. I'm a Has Bear. So I was Mr. Big Bears in 2014 and Mr. Oshlage Bear in 2014 as well. So there are current fellows holding those sashes at the moment. So that's behind me. Not behind me. It's part of my history. But yeah. So I just thought I'd be able to. Grab a whole pile of people together and make an event out of this and get the community behind something that obviously affects everybody in the world and in Australia. So if we can do a tiny little bit to try and help find a cure for cancer, or in this particular case, blood cancer, then yeah, I'm all for it.
Now, I imagine in the Air Force it was short back and sides and very little options.
Yeah, pretty much. Military regulation haircuts and... facial fur was to a minimum. You could have a moustache. I tried it for quite a few years, every Movember, pretty much. I did the Movember charity and grow a mo, but it didn't really suit my face without a beard.
It's weird, isn't it? You know, some people, it looks fantastic on them, and yeah. Others, it just looks ridiculous.
I agree, yeah. Well, the mo by itself just doesn't work, but with the beard, it works.
So are you saying it was a bit of rebellion when you left? You thought, I wasn't able to do this before, I'm going to go for it?
No, not a rebellion thing at all. It was just something that was always in me that I wanted to do. I had always admired beards. I'd always loved them. And as soon as I was able to grow it fully, then I could. As soon as I could, I did.
Now, Aaron, you said you came out just 3 years ago. That would may have made you 31 years of age. Would put that in the late category.
Yep. I suppose so.
How's life been since then? I mean, it must be very interesting for you to be on the other side.
So, very, very different worlds, to be honest. So, when I was in the Air Force and when I was in a straight relationship for many years with a woman that I still have a lot of respect for, and she's the mum of my daughter. I didn't really think about guys. I didn't really know, really understand my sexuality.
Oh, come on, you were in the Air Force.
and a lot of people say that, but it's
not the Navy.
It's not the Navy. If it was the Navy, I would have had a big beard. I don't know. For me, my experience was that I just didn't identify with my sexuality growing up and going through university. I suppose I tried to fit into a norm or an ideal. Maybe I was just sexually immature. I don't know. But since I have come out and since I've started being with men, then I definitely know who I am now and what I like and what I want, and it's pretty good.
Looking back on things, can you identify moments in your life when that would have fitted into your sexuality as it currently is, or did you just block it all out?
I think there were points where I realized that I was attracted to men in some form. One of those points was when I first went to university and I got the internet, and once I got the internet, started looking at porn. I found myself looking at guys as well and getting turned on by that. At the time, it was not that full on. It was just I liked guys with hairy chests and beards and things like that, and masculine type stereotype or a look. That did it for me. But I did then just figure, no, that's not what I want to do right now, and I suppose compartmentalised it. So that's pretty much one of the only points in my life that I realised that I did do that. The rest of it, I don't know.
So in 2014, you became Mr. Vic Bear. Tell you what, you came out of the closet and burst out there like with guns blazing, clearly.
I really did. And I'm the sort of personality that once I make a decision to do something, I don't
all or nothing.
Around. So, I dive head first into something once I've decided. I came out, it was towards the end of 2012, I suppose, to my ex. It took quite a long time, probably about 6 to 9 months of ratifying that in my head and figuring out whether this was something that that I needed to explore, or whether I was going to go ahead and start being with men, not being with my ex. So it took a while, and by the time that I made that decision, it was towards the end of 2013. And then so I had found the bear community, through the Big Bears, through the Laird, And that just felt like a very friendly community for me to jump into.
Aaron, you acknowledged how important your ex is in your life. I congratulate you in doing that.
Yeah, thank you. Look, she is. She's wonderful. Yeah, it's not without its troubles, and yeah, she's gone through a very difficult period in this as well. But yeah, she's a wonderful, resilient person, and I'm very fortunate. And so is my daughter. You know, to have a mum like that. So.
So, has your daughter seen you without a beard? I'm intrigued.
No, she hasn't.
Oh, no.
This is very interesting.
Oh, no.
So, she's five. This
could be the shock that does her head in.
And look, this is a pretty important point, actually. So, she's five. She you know, I discuss everything with her, really. And before I made the decision to shave my beard off and go ahead with this charity, I said to her, I said, look, Mealy, I'm going to be... doing a charity event, and I'm going to shave my head and shave my beard off. What do you think? And I explained it to her, and I said, look, this will be raising money for people for a good cause, and it will help people. And she said, yeah, okay, I think you should do it.
Wow.
So, not that I needed her permission, of course, but I did explain it to her before I ever thought about doing it.
Again, congratulations. Aaron, you said you explain everything to her. That indicates to me that you certainly have had the conversation about your sexuality to her.
Well, interestingly, I haven't, no.
Oh, you haven't?
No. That's one thing I haven't done yet, because the need hasn't arisen.
Right. I guess that leads me into the question, where are your thoughts regarding age-appropriate education on sex and sexuality?
Oh, good question. Not something I've thought a lot about, but...
I hate to tell you, but you're going to have to.
my gut thought on this, and something that I have discussed partly with her mum as well. Well, first of all, I would discuss it with her mum before I discuss it with her, because I want to be on the same wavelength as her.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put anything out there or, you know, explain anything to my daughter that her mum doesn't know. That's just not fair on either of them. So, you know, we have a very collaborative approach to raising our daughter still, even though we're not a couple. We have a shared parenting plan. But in terms of raising my sexuality with my daughter, I've always been of the thought that I'm not going to lie to her about anything. So if she ever asks me a question, I'll answer her straight up. And it was interesting that I had a boyfriend a few years ago, or a year ago, and my daughter saw us in the car holding hands. So I dropped her off to the train station. We were holding hands on the way to the car, to the train station, and then dropped him off, gave him a kiss, said, see you later, have a good day. And it was interesting on the drive home or to wherever we were going back to, she didn't ask me a question, why did you kiss him? She said, why are you guys holding hands? And it struck me, it was a really interesting question. And she was only, she'd have nearly been four at that stage. And I just said, that's a really good question. You know, I hold his hand because I care for him, and he's a good friend. And I thought that's as much information as she needs to know right now for her age. I don't need to explain to her anything more about the fact that, you know, he's a boyfriend, we do this, we do that. She doesn't need to know. So,
sure, but opens the door for something a little later on.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And look, I do plant seeds in her thought processes as well. Like a lot of books are... stereotypical families, mum, dad, things like that. And, you know, I try and explain to her that there are different families out there. So there's some families with two mums, there's some families with two dads. You know, some boys dress up in girls' clothes, some girls dress up in boys' clothes, things like that. So, I challenge her notions of her stereotypes when I can. And I think that's as far as it needs to go at the moment. If she does ask any further questions... as she grows up, then I'll answer them honestly.
That's very good. And you know what? You're doing something at the Laird, you said, on the 14th of March?
Yeah, so this coming Monday, the 14th of March, is the Labor Day holiday.
Can we come back and talk to you about that? We'll just take a short break first, and when we do, we'll find out. I want to know why Aaron's doing this.
Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. I was really enjoying those promos in there.
There were some odd ones. Go hang yourself. No, what was it? Hang your TV.
Hang your TV.
Yes. Yep. Great sponsors of Joy.
Very hung.
Well hung. TVs are important.
Yes.
Yes. And now we're speaking with Erin O'Neill, who is about to go commando nudo Brasilio. That's Latin for having everything shaved off. Erin, why?
Under the cutthroat.
Why are you doing this? Other than exhibitionism?
Yeah, look, it's not that. It's a great cause. So I've always said to people that the only reason I would ever shave off my beard is for a charity. And it just so happens that the time's up now to be able to tie in with this. There's a few reasons, though. Like my dad's battled prostate cancer, and that's in remission at the moment, which is nice. My granddad's got bowel cancer, and still fighting that off with chemo. But the main reason it sort of really kicked me into it was a really good mate of mine in New Zealand got diagnosed with leukemia just before New Year's Eve last year. So he got the diagnosis, and you know, it's been in and out of hospital pretty much the whole time since then.
Wow.
So it just sort of kicked me into gear to really to do this. I've been thinking about it for quite a long time, and the time's just right to do this now.
And you've got a target as well, haven't you, that you're aiming
for? I do. I have quite a lofty goal of $9,600. And the reason I chose that is because $9,600 will fund one researcher into leukemia research for 6 months for a full-time position, and hopefully help find a cure for cancer. So I'm just going to have a quick look at the tally at the moment, if I can find this web page. I think just as it stands at the moment, I've reached about 23% of that goal, so just over nearly $2,200.
I take it there's a website or something that will keep the tally going, is that right?
There is, and I just actually found it. So, yeah, $2,242 I've raised so far, and yeah, thank you. And look, that's really been through the community, through friends on Facebook, and the recent Bear New Zealand Week that I went to over in Auckland, and we raised a bit of money over there as well, which was great.
You better give us that website.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you the link. Let me just read.
And we'll make sure that it's on the Hide and Seek podcast page for this particular episode too.
That'd be great. So it's all the W's, .my.leukemiafoundation.org.au/ Erin O'Neill. So that's ErinOneill. And look, if you get stuck with that, just Google Leukemia Foundation, and then you can search for a sponsor on their website there. My page is Erin O'Neill, all lowercase and one word.
We will find it and include it on our podcast page.
Thank you, guys.
And look for the man with the big red beard. Now, Erin, how many of your mates want to see you bare naked?
Look, hang on, my beard naked? Or
yeah.
No, all of you. Bugger your beard.
Everything.
Everything.
All off.
Well, look, I think when I came to this idea in my head, I thought, how can I make an event out of this? How can I raise as much money as possible out of this? You know, obviously, one big part of me is my beard, and a lot of people will be intrigued to see what I look like without a beard. So I think that's a big draw card. But then I thought, well, you know, how can I make this bigger and a public event, and the Leds, you know, a great pub, and it's a home of Vic Bears and a home of a lot of people, a lot of my mates. So I figured, what can we do and how can we make it fun? And then I approached Richard Savvy, the Naked Barber, and asked him if he'd be able to help. And he was on board straight away. So he'd love to, loves charity events. And I thought, right, well, I can go the whole hog and getting to put me up in the barber chair and, you know, backpack and sack and all that. So, which I've never actually done, and I'm a little bit trepidatious about that.
I would be petrified.
But, I'm more scared of that than I am of losing the beard, to be honest.
Now, I believe Daddy Steve will be also helping you out on the day.
He will, yeah. Great mate Stephen's also said that he'd love to help out, and he will be there on the day helping with buzz cuts. So we'll be doing buzz cuts for a cure, and for a $20 donation, you can get your hair Cut in the Barber Chair by Daddy Steve, current lead leatherman.
Now, what is Monday night's Monday afternoon? This because it's a holiday. This Monday.
Yeah, so it's a so it's a public holiday. Monday public holiday. A lot of people will be coming back from Daylesford. So if you're getting back from Daylesford about midday and you're lost for a Monday afternoon thing to do, come along to the lead. We're kicking off at about 3, and it's going through till late. The other thing that I haven't mentioned yet is that it's thank you to the guys at the lead, to Mark and Brad, they've allowed us to make it a mixed event. So the lead I did forget to mention that, sorry, this is huge. So on Monday the 14th of March from 3 until 9 p.m, the lead will be a mixed space. So please, girls, guys, everyone, come along and bring your friends and come and see me on stage, lose my hair, beard, throw my legs up in the air and get his cutthroat down there.
Do you need an MC for the event?
Well, Dick Savvy's actually going to MC it.
How is he going to do that as well as cut?
I'm actually not sure. I think he's a very talented man. Are you offering?
I am more than happy to donate my services to this very, very good cause if you would like.
Thank you very much, Dane. We should have a chat.
I'm happy to do that. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful cause, and I think you're mad, but you should be congratulated.
Thank you.
Well, Aaron, thank you very much for joining us on Hide and Seek. And
you're welcome, yep.
Good luck.
Best of luck.
Thanks. Let me just see if there's a few other things I haven't mentioned yet. So there's going to be a barbecue there as well. Vic Bear's helping us run the barbecue with a gold cone donation. There is also Ross Spirou, who won the Laird Men on Men art competition and had a had an exhibition there recently. He's kindly donated one of his photographs, an amazing image, and it is...
Is that
one of five available? It's a 57x53 centimeter image, and he's donated that to us so that we can raffle it off on the evening, on the afternoon.
You're definitely going to need an MC for this.
Absolutely.
I think you're right. So, Dean, please.
Well, I will give you a call after the program. We can have a chat about that. But congratulations. Give us that website again for anyone who can't make it but might wish to make a donation.
Okay, cool. So go to the Leukemia Foundation website and just search for my name, Erin, E-R-I-N O'Neill, O-N-E-I-L-L, and you should see me come up there, big red beard, and if you can, please donate some money. Thank you very much.
Thank you for also being very giving with your very personal story earlier in our interview.
You're welcome,
that.
Thanks. Like I said, guys, thanks for having me on the show and helping promote this.
Aaron O'Neill losing his beard this coming Monday. Get along to the Laird Hotel and help support a very good cause. Tim, nice one.
Yes, very important cause.
You are with Dean Beck and Tim Little on Hide and Seek tonight. We are here. Yes.
You're not sounding too happy about
What do you
that?
Want to know?
Tell us the goss, Dean. What have you been doing for Mardi Gras?
Well, we got up there a couple of days earlier, started running around getting some content. On the day, we had to go and assemble at 5 o'clock at our point right on Taylor Square, our broadcast point, and we were all allocated our, you know, different jobs and what we were going to be doing. And I'd made an appointment to have a chat with our Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, Rowena Allen, who was down in Hyde Park with Georgie Harmon from Beyond Blue, and I'd promised them that we would get this audio grab from them and include it in our broadcast.
Yeah.
So that was... I was still there at half past five at our assembly point at Taylor Square. At quarter to six, I knew that there was a police media call, which was kind of halfway down towards Hyde Park at the Surry Hills Police Station.
Yeah.
So I raced down to the Surry Hills Police Station. I got the Superintendent Tony Crandall's words about Operation Hampstead, which was what they were calling their exercise insofar as safety for Mardi Gras. And he basically said, you know, if you all behave well, we'll not have any issues.
Leave you alone.
Turns out they only had 6 arrests all night. So the crowd behaved very, very well.
Do you think it's because of the nanny state?
According to Peter Phelps, the Liberal Party politician in the New South Wales government, who approves of anal fisting, maybe it is. Now, so I got that audio. I got 2 groups that were rehearsing in the park next to the police station. Then I ran down to towards Hyde Park and found myself trying to get through a barrier, of course, because there was a barrier between, you know, one side of the street and the other.
Yes.
Anyway, I had my media pass on, flashed that, managed to get through. So I got over to Hyde Park, the assembly point, the beginning of the entire parade. And I'm phoning and phoning and phoning Rowena, and she's phoning and phoning and phoning me. And she's on the other side of the barrier,
right,
of Hyde Park, where it's sort of open access. She couldn't find her way through to get to the inside of the park where I was. Anyway, with a lot of toing and froing and using the shrine as the central point,
yep,
we both walked towards each other, and I came upon the photo shoot of the pups on their knees, all in a line. And I've walked in front of the camera, and then I had to excuse myself and apologise, and I had one pup on my leg, you know, trying to cock his leg. and then with that, the commissioner walks towards me as this dog is cocking his leg. So everyone broke into... Yeah, it was hilarious. So I then go to start my interview with Rowena and Georgie Harmon from Beyond Blue, and this band and drum starts and walks towards me, right? So it was just one ridiculous thing after another. Got the interview. Then I race back to the corner of where Oxford Street starts and thought, how the hell am I going to get back?
Yeah, that's quite...
300,000 people. So I just walked straight up the middle of the road. I had the entire Oxford Street all to myself and just went straight up the middle.
You're in your own parade.
And I was in my own parade. As I was walking up, all of the sponsors of Mardi Gras were coming down giving their giveaways, because they get those out of the way.
Yeah.
And they don't do them during the parade itself. That way, you know, you don't have cans of drink throwing at your head,
clappers and all of that. Sorts of things.
So there were flags, and there was body butter, and there was drinks, and there was, what else did I score?
Glitter.
I did all right. By the time I got back, I had arms full of collateral from the various sponsors, and handed them out to our crew. But look, it was a fantastic broadcast. It was an amazing opportunity to work with some tremendous people. For us to provide the commentary for the online streaming, which was done via SBS's Raw feed on Mardi Gras' website and their own website, was a great experience, a very unique one for us, because we don't normally, work to image.
You know? Of course.
We might provide commentary to what we see in front of us, but we're not restrained by what's in those, in that box. SBS's photography this year was extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, it looked really good.
It did.
Yeah.
And it looked good there very as well. It just looked... The digital imagery that they were pulling, and someone had to then sit and edit it, but the sweeps and the overheads, and they had guys on segways with cameras as well, you know, following march. It was just beautiful what they did.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We were stuck next to a speaker, in fact the speaker for all of Taylor Square, providing the background music for Taylor Square, but you know, we had that literally inches away from our headset, so we had to speak over the top of that. That was challenging.
Could you hear it in the background?
I have no idea. I haven't heard the broadcast commentary yet, but you couldn't have got away from it. You would have had to have heard it.
Yeah.
But a great opportunity. Then there was the party, of course.
So you made it to the party.
I did. I didn't last year, but I did this year, and I reckon it's about 10 years since I've been to a Mardi Gras party.
Wow, that's quite the break.
And yeah, it was. It was great to see my good friend Alan Pearl Parkinson doing the lighting in the Royal RHI.
Oh, he always does a good job.
He does indeed, and did a sensational job again this year. You know, it's weird. As 10 years down the track, it's like nothing has changed. You know,
that's good. Because a lot of people say it's not what it used to be.
Well,
and all
it is
that
not.
Stuff.
I agree with that, but. You know, I'm talking about 20 years ago. Sure. It's certainly not like that.
Of course.
But it's just like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Lots of people everywhere. With this weird system of after each show, people would get out to get air, of course.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to queue up to get back in. That was all very odd.
Yeah. That's been happening for years.
Has it? Yeah. Strange system. But anyway, whatever. so we did that, you know. Downstairs, the back toilets are not like they used to be, and it's probably a good thing, but they're certainly not like they used to be. But look, a lot of fun was had by all, and I decided to take off about 4 o'clock.
Okay. Did you see many performers?
I saw Conchita and Courtney Act.
Yep.
I saw the warm-up ones, which were sort of just a collective of dancers and that sort of stuff.
Was Deborah Cox there?
Deborah Cox was the one that I missed at around 4:30 or something.
Oh, right.
Missed that one. And I would have liked to have seen that because I like Deborah Cox's stuff. So, yeah, look, I had a ball. It was great.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm very jealous. I hate you.
It's time for us to say goodbye. So say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.